it's an open mic Friday on Law and Gospel on this March the 16th in the year of our Lord 2018. And being an open mic Friday, it means you can call me in the St. Louis area. The number is 821-0850. Anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. On Wednesday, we dealt with two emails. I'm going to start off with an email again today from Stephen. Hi, Pastor Baker. I heard you on Issues Etc. discussing Genesis chapter 3 and original sin. I have a basic question for you. Could you please reconcile these two statements? First statement, we are made in the image of God. Second statement, we are sinful by nature and have sinful desires. We are poor, miserable sinners. What does the image of God mean? Does it only mean physical attributes? Or would it include such things as our tendency to be self-centered? All right. Thanks so much. And that was from Steve. How do we answer this? All questions should be answered from the Bible. That's really important to remember. Because if you don't answer them from the Bible, you're never going to be sure that you have the right answer. In fact, what I found somewhat interesting is the psalm for this coming Sunday. Remember, there's a psalm, there's an Old Testament lesson, there's a epistle, and there's a gospel. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with the gospel on Palm Sunday, because it's like, boy, what was it, 119 verses long? So we're talking about that. But listen to Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Isn't that interesting? And verse 16 of Psalm 119 says, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So when a pastor answers a theological question, we're to answer it according to the word of God. When we take a look at Genesis, the first statement is absolutely true, that when God made man, man was made in the image of God. It's verse 27 of Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now notice, that means both the males and the females are created in the image of God. That's really important. But what does the image of God mean? It's clear from the New Testament and other passages in the Old Testament that Adam and Eve lost that image. So it couldn't be referring to physical attributes, particularly since Jesus had not become incarnate at that time and God the Father is a spirit. So to be made in the image of God, if you're talking about physical attributes, we'd only be talking about angels, because they're spirits. Clearly, being made in the image of God is referring to being sinless and holy. But then, Stephen makes a good point. If we're made in the image of God, how can we say we are sinful by nature and have sinful desires? Once more, Scripture interprets Scripture. In chapter 5 of Genesis, it begins, this is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness or image of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. So that's, again, a repeat with the creation of Adam and Eve. But now listen to verse 5. When Adam had lived 130 years, okay, so this is Adam after he had fallen into sin. He fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. That's where we get the idea that human beings, since the fall of man, are created in the image of Adam, not in the image of God. In other words, we're poor, sinful beings. We're miserable sinners. We deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And I think Steve is correct that the main motivation on the part of a sinful individual is his being self-centered. So, the way I answered this question, I took two passages from the Bible where God clearly says he made himself, or made man in his own image, and then another passage where once Adam had fallen into sin and he fathered a son, it was in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The point we're trying to make here is that's what Lent and Easter is all about. Jesus coming in order to restore us to our own, to the image of God. And that's why Christianity doesn't make any sense from a rational point of view. Because when I, as a pastor, look out over the members of the congregation, particularly on a Sunday morning, what I am to be seeing are saints, sinless, righteous individuals. There's hardly any evidence for that, if you understand what I mean. So, if you want to give us a call, don't hesitate to do so. Numbers are 821-0850 here in St. Louis and 1-800-730-2727. It appears somebody has called, but they're not up on my board yet, so I can't get a hold of them. So we're waiting here to see who that might be. But I do have something else to say. I always do when it comes to Fridays, in case the calls don't come in. Stephen Hawking died. What I was really surprised at, yes, he may have been a great scientist. I don't understand all of the things he was figuring out with the black holes of space and all this. But I read at least three articles about him, and none of them mentioned he was an atheist. And yet that's what he's best known for in the world. And how do we know? He was once asked, and he stated he was not religious in the normal sense, and believed that the universe is governed by the laws of science. Now, I find that really interesting. I mean, that's like saying, yeah, I don't really believe my parents are my parents and that I'm really their child. But when I live in the house, I just live by the laws of order. I'm there in time for supper. I go to bed at the time that the law says I need to go to bed, et cetera, et cetera. You see how ridiculous that is? You can't have a law in the house without a lawgiver. The laws of science are simply the way man has figured out how God normally works. For example, gravity. Now, without gravity, we'd all be floating around. So that's really quite a different kind of situation that we're here on Earth and we're stuck to the ground. But that gravity isn't a law of science that sits by itself. No, that gravity instead is how human beings have discovered how God normally works. In 2008, here's what Hawking said. The laws may have been decreed by God, but God does not intervene to break the laws. Well, I find that interesting. If the laws are done by God, of course he intervenes to break them. Because I can't remember one law of science I learned in high school that still holds sway today. Everything has changed. Therefore, what do we mean by laws of science? Well, they're Hawking's God. He regarded the concept of heaven as a myth. There's no heaven, no afterlife. And that such a notion was a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. Now, what Stephen Hawking doesn't realize is that his atheism is in response to his being afraid of the dark. You see, this is where law and gospel helps us to understand. When you hear the law of God and you don't like following it at all, you sin daily by thought, word, and deed, every person in the world. Therefore, you come to fear God. See, Stephen Hawking believed in a God, or I should say disbelieved in a God, that never exists. If you'll recall, I had that conversation some time ago with an atheist. And I said to him, what kind of God do you think I believe in that you don't believe in? And when he said what he said, I said, you know, I don't believe in that God either. Because every atheist believes that the God that they're denying is a God of justice who's going to give you what you deserve. And they're afraid of that God because they're in the dark. They don't realize the revealed nature of that God, which is really quite different. So, at this time, we're going to go to the phone lines and talk with Mike. Mike, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing?
Very good.
That's good. You were saying that Hawking said that people who can't accept that there's no such thing as life after death are really afraid of the dark.
Yes.
You know, there's a saying that says that children are afraid of the dark, but old men are afraid of dying. I always heard that saying.
You know, that's a great saying, Mike, but guess what it means? It's the same thing. The dark and dying refers to the same thing because you are out of control of it. You don't understand it. You can't stop it. So when the kids are younger, they're afraid of the dark because what's all that lightning out there and thunder?
Mm-hmm.
And when you get older, you realize that death is the darkness that you're afraid of. That's a very good point you're making.
All right, I'll see you.
Thank you so much. And anybody else can call now. Numbers are 821-0850. That's St. Louis. But anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Just saying a couple more points about Stephen Hawking. He says, we are each free to believe what we want, and it is my view that the simplest explanation is there is no God. Well, of course, human beings want to say that, because then there's no darkness. They think everything can be explained by science, and therefore there can be no resurrection from the dead. Because science knows that that's impossible. There can be no righteousness that we have that isn't our own. Science says that's impossible. He says, no one created the universe and no one directs our fate. Wow. There's probably no heaven and no afterlife either. We have this one life to appreciate the grand design of the universe, and for that I am extremely grateful. Oh, yeah. Yeah, tell that to the people who got hit by tsunamis or hurricanes or tornadoes or car accidents or dying from drugs. What's he talking about? That the universe, that is what he is forever grateful. He himself had an illness that was a real problem. And he said quite a bit against Christianity. But that's because he's afraid of the dark. Well, guess what? He's now realized that he was wrong. Because even unbelievers, after death, their spirits are taken from their bodies. And they realize they are wrong. And proof of that, of course, is that parable of Jesus of the rich man and Lazarus. You know, and the rich man said, send somebody back to my brothers to tell them what's ahead for them. And of course, nobody was going. If they don't believe someone risen from the dead, they won't believe the word that is so clear from the Old Testament. Let's go talk to James. Hi, James. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. It is the fool that has said in his heart there is no God. Is that correct?
Yes, because the word fool there means the obvious of wisdom. Wisdom okay. means according to the word of God. Foolish means according to man's understanding.
Okay, and God does save the fool. Is it also correct?
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. Because...
Well, we have...
Go ahead.
No. No, I was going to give you the Psalms 107, 17 through 21, and it seems to display that in those writings, but we didn't know if that was correct or not, so we'd like you to take a look at Psalms 107, 17 through 21.
Okay, is that in the New Testament or Old Testament? Yeah, you don't you ever go to the New Testament?
Yes, sir, we do.
Yeah, I know you do. All right, let me read it, and you want to get off the air.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks so much. Psalm 107, 17 to 21. Here's what it says. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Now, what do you think this psalm is talking about? They loathe any kind of food. Just go back to the Old Testament. The people of Israel going through the desert, first of all, they complain that here come the Egyptians and we're going to die because we're stuck by the Red Sea. Then the Red Sea opens up. They get across. You would think they would never again complain about God right away. Where's the water? We have plenty of water in Egypt. We don't have any water. And then we don't have any food. So God sent them manna. After a while, it says that they began to argue with Moses and God because they loathed the manna. I guess they didn't have modern cooks who could take a vegetable and make about 15 different meals out of it, depending on how you cook it, etc. But they loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. What happened? Serpents, poisonous, began to bite them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. What did he do? A bronze serpent, whoever looked at it and had been bitten, would be healed. He sent out his word and healed them. Notice that. The word refers to the promise. Whoever looks at this bronze serpent will be healed. But they began as fools. And I think James makes a good point. Namely, the fool is the person who is not wise. Foolish and wisdom are not charted by your IQ. Stephen Hawking, the atheist who died, was considered to be a genius. And I remember the passages from the Bible that the wisdom of man is regarded by God as foolishness. Because the wisdom of man can never figure out God as he reveals himself. If you only look at nature and science, you will actually end up with what's called the theory of evolution, where it took millions of years for God or whatever happened instead of the 6 24-hour days that is clearly taught by the Bible. It is a way of putting God in subjection to our notions rather than looking at the Word of God. In other words, if somebody ever asks you a question of a theological nature, you need to find the Bible passages to back up your answer. And particularly in Proverbs, it goes through a whole bunch of things. The fool thinks this way, the wise think this way. And the difference is the wise know the thoughts of God because they have read them and believed in them. But when you recognize that you fall short of the glory of God as he reveals himself, particularly in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that can be a very dark place. I've often said there are two responses to hearing the law of God. The one is utter despair. That's what Judas had when he realized what he had done, and he committed suicide. Well, rather than commit suicide, you just believe there is no God. And that takes away the darkness. Life is the way it is. But then the scientist has no reason why suffering is in the world. In other words, the Word of God alone has the comfort. And that's why I really like that psalm. That was part of the reading, that the difference between an individual who knows God and doesn't know God is what keeps a young man pure in his ways by guarding it according to your word. For example, we're going through a time in our society now when the commands of God are just thought of as ridiculous. I mean, I don't see a police program on the air, and many of them are true if you go to a certain channel, where the police women are not fooling around sexually with people who aren't their husbands. I mean, I would be pretty peeved if I was a police woman and had that characteristic, because so much is not being guarded according to the Word of God. And people have forgotten the Word of God. Well, we're not going to be doing that this coming Monday as we prepare for Palm Sunday. There's actually about 119 verses in the Gospel. Now, who's going to sit there and read 119 verses? Well, we're going to share with you what we think should be done about that. And that'll be on this coming Monday, where we take a look at the readings for Palm Sunday. I'm Tom Baker. You want to get a hold of me? Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. That's my email address. Don't hesitate to give a email to me. We pray that you'll hear a good Law and Gospel sermon this week. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.